the world has constructed this vision of beauty that we don't see in scripture. So what we get to do as parents, it's a delightful thing. We get to rebuild a biblical construct and give them that construct. But man, the lies that I even saw my little one believing is that what makes me beautiful is the way that I look. And if I don't like certain things about the way that I look, then I must not be very beautiful. And that's just not true.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. Okay, we're going to jump back in with Kristen Wetherell, and I love these conversations.
This is a conversation that is daily for women.
Totally.
And I'm not saying it isn't for us men as well, but understanding how God sees us as beauty, what is beauty, how do we appropriate God's view of us as beautiful is critical. Am I right? For moms and daughters?
Totally. Yeah, for sure. So let's jump back in with Kristen. What would you say to the mom who has even high school girls? And I remember being discipled. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. This stuff was all very new to me, even modesty. Like, what's modesty? Why would we even want to do that? But I remember my discipler saying, your beauty comes from within, and this is really what matters. I'm like, okay, I get that. But it doesn't matter to the world. Like, I know that God loves me, thinks I'm beautiful, he thinks I'm blah, blah, blah. But everybody out there is judging me on the outward. And so how do I get around that? Because I'm content, but the world isn't content. And the world is judging me continually, even with jobs, even with classes, professors, professionalism. We are all judged by our outer appearance. So how do I not let that be the priority? And how do I continually keep Jesus as the thing that matters the most?
Yeah. Well, so we're talking about the world's influence, the world's voice, right, being spoken into our minds. So we need a different voice. We need God's voice. And so when we open our Bibles, we're hearing his voice. We're hearing Jesus speak to us as if he's sitting right next to us. We're hearing his promises to us. We're hearing him pray for us. We're hearing his good and loving commands. So that we will flourish. And so I think we have to just imbibe ourselves with God's voice before we can go out into the world. Because not only will that be stronger than the world's voice, but we'll be able to interpret what we're hearing through the right lens at that point. But honestly, I also think about—
That's really good, by the way.
Oh, good. I'm also thinking about Paul saying, I have become all things to all people that I might save some. And by that he means, so that Jesus will save them, right? And Paul doesn't mean I'm going to toss God's word and Christian values into the toilet. That's not what he means. He means I'm going to enter into the world. I'm going to be in the world, but not of it. I'm going to meet people where they're at in order that the good news of Jesus might be brought to them. So God knows we're in the world. He knows what's in this world. And we're ambassadors for Christ. And so it makes me think, what an opportunity then to look different. What an opportunity to speak differently, to have a different hope. Because there will be times when people take notice. And Peter says, be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have when the door opens.
I love that.
So are we prepared for that? Are we steeping ourselves in the word? Are we prepared?
And I think as we do that, because I'm all about the word, I have to be in it every day or else I drift into the culture's views. But when I'm in the word and I remember who I am in him, who he is, what happens is you have a different kind of confidence. It's not in your abilities necessarily, but it's in like, I am a child of the King. I'm an ambassador of the King of Kings. And so there's a confidence that we can walk in. And are we going to try to make ourselves look on the outside good? Yeah, what's appropriate. And so I think there is something to like, there's that beauty that comes from within.
And I think too, Christians will discern with the help of God's Spirit, Do I stay or do I go?
What do you mean?
Do I fight or do I flee? Right? So is God giving you the spiritual strength to stay in a hard environment? So I studied music theater in college. I got my BFA.
Wow.
And I wanted to perform on stage. I wanted to go to New York. So I lived there for a year just to see. I had a sense that maybe it wasn't what God was calling me to. But I thought, if I don't go now, I won't go. So right after graduation, I moved to New York. And I could not stay in that kind of an environment. It was just so dark. There was so much pressure to be the product, to be that worldly standard of beauty, to conform. And I discerned that God is not calling me to stand. He's not calling me to stay. Now, for another person, there are Christians in the theater world, and they are a light for Christ, and they are ambassadors for Him.
And
God has called them to stay. So I think we just have to discern too.
That's good.
Where is God calling me?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a sense, even when you talked about Paul saying, I'm all things, all men, there's a sense that if we want to win and save, we want God to use us to lead people to Christ, then our appearance matters. You know, if I'm going to walk on stage and preach, I think about what I'm wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Not to impress, but to make sure, if I'm going to be a keynote at a business lunch, which I've done many times, mm-hmm. I don't walk in there shabbily dressed. I've got to walk on stage where they go, okay, this guy looks like us. He cares about how he, again, it's not the most important thing, but I am dressing not to impress them. Mm-hmm. But to win them. Mm-hmm. And I've got to have a first impression where they go, okay, I like this guy. Now I'm going to listen to what he said. Am I right?
Yeah.
It's even bigger, even bigger for women, of course. I mean, you guys walk in a room. I don't know.
No, I think you're totally right.
I mean, you've said, even at the weekend, remember when you talked to the wives, I know you've said every woman here has noticed every woman here. Mm. I think that's more than men notice. We notice, but you, right?
Well, there's a point where you could dress in a way that's a distraction.
That's what I was thinking.
You were?
Yeah. Well, Dana Gresh has a great distinction. She says, and I've been sharing this with my older daughter lately, is what you're wearing or the way that you're presenting yourself saying, look at me?
Yes.
Or is it saying, look at him?
Yeah.
Because there's a way to do that, like you're saying, getting up on stage. You want to honor God.
Mm-hmm.
He's an excellent God. Right. So let's dress excellently, you know, but not in a way that says, look at me. Not in a way that's distracting.
I don't want them to be watching me thinking, where did she get that bracelet? Or those are the coolest shoes, which is great. I hope they like them, but I don't want them to not hear the words.
The message.
This is a great conversation. And before we continue, I just want to remind our listeners that our vision at Family Life is every home, a godly home. And we need your help to get there. And when you become a Family Life partner, your monthly support makes that vision actually possible.
Yeah, you'll get access to exclusive updates and events and the chance to join our partners-only online community. But more than that, you're helping change the future of families. Mm. So the question is, will you come alongside us and alongside families in need?
And you can go to familylifetoday.com and read more about it and become a partner. Just click the donate button at the top. And again, that's familylifetoday.com. It's very easy today. It has been for me for years. When you try on a pair of pants, your mood can be determined by how they are fitting.
Yes.
And if they're too tight and they've been like that for months, your whole mood can go in the tank. And so that's why I have to be in the Word, to be reminded who I am, who He is, because there's so many things that can affect how we feel about ourselves. And as you get older, there's so many physical frailties. And I think about my mom with Alzheimer's and, you know, she lost a whole sense of herself and beauty. And yet there's still that part of there that we could see, like, there she is. It's this beauty of the soul.
And are you saying, the two of you, that when a woman does that, puts on her pants and they're tighter than she wants?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I know we look in the mirror and like, I'm going to take care of that. You know, I'm going to lose the weight or whatever. So you have that struggle. But are you saying that that woman or that guy, understanding identity and beauty in Christ, is able to go, I'm still beautiful. I'm still okay. I'm still treasured. And it's real to the depth of his or her soul.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Because that woman wants to know that.
You have to preach to yourself.
Right. She wants to know that's possible.
But I think, Dave, one of the biggest things, as you're talking, Kristen, is if your daughter is a preteen, preteen girls, we tend to get a little heavier as we're about to grow. And I've had so many moms say, I don't know what to do. She's getting fat. I don't know how to talk about this. I don't know that balance. And I'm struggling with it myself. And I even say to her, like, oh, I'm changing my eating and I'm eating well and blah, blah, blah. It just becomes this such a convoluted, messy thing with daughters. As the mom has always felt the pressure and not to put that on the daughters. Mm. And I'm telling you, if you're feeling that, this book is the way to go. Read this with your girls, be in the word. And if you've never done that, maybe you've even talked to your girls about like, this is really important. You need to eat, you know, you need to be thin. Maybe you say, I think I've gotten this wrong. I feel like maybe I need to redo some things. What would you say, Kristen, to the mom and her daughter that she's like, I'm struggling with this. Would you encourage her to go through that book with her girls?
I would say I'm still struggling with this. So I would say it's just never too late. You know, a wise mom said to me once, it's never too late to make a change, especially when your kids are still under your roof and you are the primary voice and the primary influence over them. Yeah, just asking God, what do you have for me? What does your word say? And so I hope that this book gets them in the word because my voice doesn't matter. What I have to say doesn't matter if it's not backed here, right? In the scriptures. So I pray that it gives them a good starting point, some conversation starters. And those topics are hard. It makes me think about our bodies being a temple of the Holy Spirit. They are vessels. They're tents. They're temporary. They're just kind of up by pegs and ropes. But we're here for a time. And so what does it look like to steward what God has given me without worshiping what God has given me? There's a difference.
How can husbands and dads speak the right messages into their wives and daughters and sons, but, you know?
Especially to their wives and daughters.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here as a husband and dad going, man, we never had daughters, but what would I have said? How would I do it? The modeling is huge. They're watching. Like, how do you look at women? How do you talk about women? Yes. Right. So the words are important. But I throw it out to you two. Talk to the husbands and dads. Like, how can we influence in a positive, godly way the way our daughters and our wives think about beauty?
Such a good question. And I just love my husband so much. And so I'm going to use him again as an example here because I think he does this so well.
I got to meet this guy.
Brad's great. I think about it at the end of Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, washing her, right? And so your voice really matters. You are, in a sense, God's voice to your family. So don't hear me wrong. You are not God. That's not what I'm saying. But you are in a sense, because you are to reflect Christ and his love for the church. You are, in a sense, God's voice to your family members. And so Brad will always say to me when I'm struggling with my appearance or something like that, he will always say to me, are you listening to my voice? Because you're beautiful and I need you to believe me. And he has sometimes said to me too, when you don't believe me, it almost hurts a little bit because I want you to. I want my voice to matter in your life. And isn't how God feels about us? He wants his voice to matter in our lives. So what are you speaking in front of your kids to your wife? It's amazing to me the amount of wives that I hear, sadly, say that their husbands are critical of them. And that will speak something to your daughters, if you have them, and to your sons,
right,
about how they are to treat women.
Right.
But if you're speaking life to them, that makes a huge difference. And so I love it because Brad will say that to me. He'll look at our sweet girls and he'll say, you are so beautiful. Just a simple thing. Again, not to exalt what they're wearing, not to exalt even the way that they look, but to celebrate how God's made them.
I'm thinking about one of our granddaughters. Every night she goes to bed, her mom and then another one, her dad. But I remember her mom is still saying, like, you're beautiful, you're kind, you're generous, you're strong, you're brave. And that's been since she was an infant. And for a dad, I feel like dad's words are weighty.
Weighty.
Especially with their daughters. And so for a dad, like I can remember negative things my dad said, but also the positive. But there is this part of me that yearned for more. Mm. I felt needy with my dad, like, do you think I have what it takes? Do you think I'm beautiful? I'm not sure my dad. It's funny. I feel like there was one time I remember him picking me up at the airport and I was in London. And I remember him saying, wow, you look beautiful. And he didn't say it very often. I wanted to like fall on the floor and cry.
Oh, my word.
Because it's my dad and those words are so important. And so I think this is just a great assignment to parents, like what we speak, what we're speaking to ourselves as women, especially. I would ask you as a woman listener, what are you saying about your own physical body and appearance to yourself? Because it's so easy to slip out. Even if we don't say it, our daughters can feel maybe what we're feeling or thinking about them and ourselves.
That's right. I'm part of a mom's life group.
Yeah.
So it's moms of kids. And these are my dear sisters in Christ. There's 25 of us. And then we break into small group tables. It's just been
an absolute delight.
So we listen to the sermon, we discuss the sermon and get into God's word together. One of the questions we often ask ourselves is what I'm telling myself something that I would tell my sister? Because usually it's different. Something that I might say to my sister when she's feeling mom guilt or struggling with her appearance, it's not what I would tell myself. And why is that? So I think it's a good filter too. We need the body of Christ, right? We need one another to live in light of the word.
Yeah.
It's just so hard in this world. And so to have this beacon of light.
Is there a devotion that you like the most in this book of 20 devotions?
Honestly, I think because I'm aging and my husband and I joke that we wake up and we injured ourselves. You know, like you injure yourself sleeping now. Do you guys
ever do
that?
You're saying this in your 30s?
Oh yeah. Well, I'll wake up and I'll be like, I can't move my knee. What's going on?
You are looking across the table at somebody a little older than 30.
Well, yes, we do know what you're talking about.
You know, but like we're seeing friends come down with awful things.
Yeah.
There's so much cancer in this world right now.
Yeah.
And so we're aging. And so I think a couple of these chapters on that beauty that lasts forever. I really have been thinking a lot lately about the brevity of life. There have been a lot of family members with cancer, people passing, and it's really given me pause to say, am I ready for that? Am I ready for the day when I will see Jesus? 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 have meant a lot to me over the years. I co-wrote a book called Hope When It Hurts with Sarah Walton, who I believe you guys have spoken with. And that whole book is in those two chapters. There's so much good there about hope and where we're setting our hope when life is hard. But 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, though our outer self is wasting away, and we all feel that, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And then Paul goes on to talk about this eternal weight of glory that all of these afflictions are producing now. I don't think we can even fathom what that will be. But boy, will these things seem light and momentary. Not that they are light and momentary in terms of how we feel them to be now. They're heavy. But compared to the weight of glory, they will be so fading.
Yeah.
And so I think those chapters have meant a lot to me.
It's interesting, though, that scripture was the scripture that when my sister was diagnosed, that's the scripture that came to my mind about her. And I watched it happen. Like physically, she was fading away. But spiritually, it was one of the most beautiful, like her surrender and hope in Christ and her love for the word. She'd be like, just read it to me again. Just read me the word again. You know, to me, it's like, those are the things. Like as we're fading physically, spiritually, we're just coming more alive. And we'll live forever. We're immortal.
Yeah.
And we spend so much time on the outer beauty.
That's right.
Yeah. And I would just say to our listener, you can pick up What Makes You Beautiful at familylifetoday.com. Just go to the show notes, click on the link. But we're going to talk about prayer as well. You've got another book, Teach Me to Pray.
Yes. Yes.
I know this isn't related just to the beauty thing, but does prayer affect this area as well? And let's walk through what Teach Me to Pray is all about.
Does it affect this area? The answer is yes. So Teach Me to Pray.
From A to Z.
Is praying God's word from A to Z. It's sort of an encyclopedia of prayers for kids.
It's so cute. Like, they're really pretty, but it's A to Z. And yes. You have two. Do you have two on each letter?
Two entries per letter.
Yeah.
Yeah. X, we had to stretch a little bit.
I noticed that last night. So I feel like I have to, let's have Kristen read one since you wrote it. But they're short. They're cute. Like, have you been reading these to your kids?
Not yet.
You haven't?
No, I'm excited. I wanted to get the book in hand. And my daughter can read and my son is almost there. And so I think it'll be fun to have the book. But she was helping me with, you know, some of my edits along the way.
Yeah.
She's a super helper. Okay, so this is the very first one. Teach me to pray about anger. Oh God, I'm so angry. I feel so upset. You're slow to be angry. Don't let me forget. You're patient with me and you're gentle and kind. Your mercy surrounds me before and behind. In light of your tenderness, help me to see how slowness to anger can also mark me. Lord, help me to listen and then help me speak. To you, self-control doesn't mean that I'm weak. I thank you that Christ bore your wrath in my place. My anger's forgiven, for I've received grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
And then talk about what else is in that, like after anger.
So each encyclopedic entry has this prayer, teach me to pray about, fill in the blank. And then you have read about it. So there's a verse. Think about it, just a little paragraph, short teaching on what we're talking about. Learn about it with some more scriptures if you wanted to read them by yourself or with your parents. And then do something about it, a response, a practical action
step. Yeah, what's your response from that one?
It says, have you been sinfully angry towards someone lately?
Yes.
Yes. Confess your
anger. That would be yes.
To God, ask for his forgiveness and help, and then go apologize to the person you hurt.
Mm. That's really good. So as you wrote this, tell me how you pictured it playing out with a parent.
Yeah. Well, I wrote this because we had our very own situation with our eldest daughter. She was going to bed and she was afraid. I think it was of the dark or something like that. And so Brad said, okay. And he prayed with her. And then he said, I'm just going to write you a little prayer because she could read at that point. And so he wrote on a post-it note, I think something as simple as, dear Jesus, I'm scared. Please help me know you are near. Help me to trust you. Amen. And he stuck it on her nightstand. And as I was thinking about it, I'm like, that is so helpful. Something, because sometimes I don't know what to pray half the time. Let's be honest. And so kids don't know what to say. They're learning. And so to give them something written down that you can read, that's where the idea came from. Just something simple that they can read. And so I'm envisioning if a child can read on their own, this is something to give them words.
I like it.
Or a parent could use this before bed, according to each topic or situation. You could use it around the dinner table as a way
idea.
To get your family in the word.
And to conversation about anger.
Yeah.
You're teaching them how to confess. Like, you're talking about scripture that relates to that.
I mean, you pick the topic, you flip to that topic, and
it's
boom.
There.
Kristen, thanks. This has been really helpful for parents.
Yeah.
Truly is a privilege. Thank you.
Did today's episode hit home with you? If you're a parent and you're resonating with this, we know it's really, really hard.
I think often we have more questions than we have answers.
Yeah.
And I have always felt like, somebody please help me. And so we've pulled together some of our most helpful parenting pieces into one spot for you.
And if you're like me, you're going to want to get those. And I'd say you're going to want to get them right now. And we've got a way for you to do that. Here's how you do it. Go to familylife.com/parentinghelp. Did you write that down? Are you typing it in right now? Here it is. Again, familylife.com/parentinghelp. And you will find some of the best stuff Family Life has ever done over decades to help you and to help us all on parenting. So go there now.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry.
helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.